John chapter 15. John chapter 15, as we continue on in our consideration of these two little words, with so great power and so much in the scripture about these two little words, I am, I am. Here in John chapter 15, one of my favorite passages, and you know how that is. Your favorite passage happens to be that one that you're reading right now, right? But this is really a powerful passage, a blessed passage. It's a great instruction to the Lord's children, to we who are saved, and indeed to those who are without Christ, that you might see your need. But it's great instruction, and it may we understand what the Lord is telling us and saying to us here. We need Him. Oh yeah, we need Him in salvation, but that's not the end of it. For us to go on and walk the rest of the time that we have, as Brother Peter says in his epistle, the rest of our time, we need to abide in the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to abide in Him. Here in John chapter 15, verse number 1, the scripture says, the Lord Jesus speaking, I am the true vine. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the day, and we thank you for your blessings. They're many, and they're great and wonderful to us. Father, thank you for this day that you've made for us to meet together to worship you. And Lord, we thank you for your people. We thank you for each member of Olmsted Baptist Church and each one that you have brought today, Father. We pray for those unable to be here, Lord, that you would remove any hindrance, and Lord, that they might be able to meet with us together, that we might worship you. And again, thank you for each one that's come. We thank you for our visitors, and pray, Father, that you would just help us, that our hearts would be bent towards you, and that we might worship you and praise you at this time in your word and those things that the Lord Jesus Christ has spoken unto us. We pray, Father, for those that are here without Christ, Lord, that you would convict them and stir them and touch them. Lord, give them life, that they might hear your call, that they might hear the gospel, that they might see Jesus. Lord, that you would save them and make them your own. And Lord, that they would even publicly declare that. And Lord, that we might rejoice in the salvation, your salvation of sinners at hand. Help now, we pray, that we might worship you, Father. Remove every hindrance. Forgive us of our sins when we fail you. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name and for his sake. And amen. Here Jesus says, in this time that he's there with the disciples, he's left. They are picking up and leaving that upper room. They're on the way to the Garden of Gethsemane. And he says unto them, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. It's an allegorical kind of thing. There's different types of allegory. And the Lord Jesus Christ is likening himself to a true vine. He is the true vine. He is a vine. We've seen where the Lord said, I am other things, to tell us about his ministry, to tell us about who he is and what he's done and what he's doing, what he's going to do. He tells us these things that we might understand. Remember, the Lord Jesus is greater than anybody. His ministry and his work is multifaceted, and it's hard for us to comprehend everything about the Lord, but I tell you what, it's a great pursuit and a great exercise to try, okay, to understand him and know about him. Here the Lord says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the one that goes about, that tends to everything, okay? So Jesus is there. If you'll imagine the vineyard, and you imagine that vine that is growing there at the place where the vine has been set and prepared by the husbandman, maybe wires or maybe an arbor or such as that. Jesus says he's the true vine. He's the vine that the husbandman, the Father, is interested in. And he is there tending every branch in me. Okay, so the vine is there, and every branch coming into the vine, every branch that is set there in the vine that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Because unfruitful branches the Lord is not interested in. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. You know what? He'll prune that branch. He'll take and he'll work what's needed for that branch, that it might bear more fruit, our Lord will tell us. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. Why? That it may bring forth more fruit. Our Father loves us. Are you a child of God? Have you been saved? When you do wrong, does the Lord chasten you? I tell you what, if you claim to be a child of God, but there is no chastening when you disobey the Lord, you need to consider about your soul. Because the Lord says, He tells us in Hebrews, that all the children are partakers of chastisement. Can you just go on your way? Can you hear what God says and what the Lord Jesus commands for you to do? And you just put that off, lay that aside, go on your way, and the Lord never says anything to you about it? You need to look out, because the Lord Jesus says He's the true vine, and branches in Him bear fruit. And not only that, they are purged by the husbandman. The Lord Jesus says in verse 3, "Now are ye clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." It's the word that comes to us, and Jesus is the fulfillment of the word, and He brings the word to us and tells us about everything we need to know about everyone that we need to know it about. About ourselves, about our creation, He creating us, about our fall in Adam, about our wickedness, our sin, our depravity, about Himself and what He's done through His Son. He tells us everything through His Word that we need to know. And you know what? When that Word comes into our lives, it comes into our hearts, it comes across us, it washes us, it cleanses us. The husbandman, if you will, is there watering with the Word, isn't he? Isn't that good? Watering with the Word. In Ephesians chapter 5, the apostle writes to this church at Ephesus, and he says in verse number 26 about the church and about what the Lord is doing here. He says here in verse 26 that He, the Lord, might sanctify and cleanse it, His church, with the washing of water by the Word. Do you know the Word of God? I'm not talking about knowing where it's at on your shelf at home and maybe there's dust on it, knowing that you've left your Bible at the church house or such as that. But you know the Word of God? Do you know what the Lord says in that Word and how that applies to you? That's how you get washed. This old world will spot us up and make us dirty. But the Word of God will wash us and cleanse us and helps us. The husbandman there, the Father is there watering with the Word of the Lord. Jesus says in verse 4, "Abide in me." We don't use that word abide in our day. It's not common for us to use. But that word abide, synonyms for that word are to stay, to continue, to dwell. I like this to try to help us to understand the Word. We abide in our abode, all right? What's your abode? Your house, your apartment, the place where you live. That is your abode, and you abide there. You live there. That's your place. Somebody wants to come find you, they go to your house, and they find you there. Are we abiding in Christ? He says, abide in me. He says, other synonyms, to be present or to remain. I like this one, to stand. Right? In Ephesians, we're called to, having done all, to stand. We stand in Christ. I tell you what, don't stand for Christ. Stand in Christ. That's what we need. That's what you need as a child of God. He says, abide in me and I in you. Take a look at this reference over in 1 John. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verse number 6. The Scripture says here, "He that saith he abide in Him." All right, so there's a voice here that's saying, "I abide in Christ. I'm saved. I abide in Christ." Listen, don't turn me off, but listen. The voice that goes forth that says, "I abide in Christ." John writes to us, the Lord tells us, "He that abideth in Him," in the Lord Jesus, "ought himself also to walk even as He walked." If you're abiding in Christ, you're walking like Christ. At least you're seeking and desiring to walk like Christ. Not just say, "Well, it's a goal that I have and I fail in every way." Listen, if there's pursuit with the help of the Lord, there will be some success to some extent, won't there? Those that are here not here for services this morning that are members of Olmsted Baptist Church and can be, should be. All right? Should be. Because the Lord has promised to meet with us. And we meet together to worship Him. We meet together to worship Him. It's good to see one another, but that's not the reason we meet together. That's a blessing. Indeed it is. But we don't meet together to be seen, to see and be seen, but we meet together to worship our Lord. He says back in John 15, abide in me and I in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. You want to bear fruit? Got to be a healthy branch in the vine that you might bring forth fruit. The blackberries out here this year have done great. And we enjoyed some of that last night, I believe. And the cobbler made it. The cobbler has not made it before in times past, but the cobbler made it last night. You know what? Those branches out there that bear those blackberries, they can't bear if that vine is not in good shape and that vine doesn't go down in the ground and that vine bring up that nutrient, that vine bring up that water. And evidently the vine's in good shape because the berries have been good. Do you want to be in good shape? Abide in the Lord Jesus Christ. Endure, remain, be present, stand, tarry in Him, the Lord Jesus tells us. No more can ye except ye abide in me. Give up the idea of bearing fruit for the Lord if you're not abiding in Christ. Sinner, you might seek to save yourself some other way, but you cannot be saved except and only by the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't ever bear fruit. You try to short circuit it, do it another way, follow after the way of the world, philosophy of man, false religion, some religion that you'd cook up. You will not abide and you will not bear fruit. You need to be saved by the Lord. You need to have life in the Lord. And then you can abide. You and I can abide in Him. In verse 5, Jesus says, I am the vine and ye are the branches. Get the order right. We like to tell God what's going to happen, don't we? We like to tell, our natural tendency is to tell the Lord the way it's going to be. I tell you what, we need to listen to the Lord and what He says in His Word. And we need to line up with what the Lord says about it and not just give lip service to it, but do it. Starting tonight, starting tomorrow, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Rather than living life for ourselves. A child of God is not to do so. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, verse 5, and I in him. Okay, so now it's not just a claim of abiding in the vine. It's just not a voice that's at hand. John told us over there in 1 John that the one that says that he abides in Christ ought to be walking like Christ did, ought to have an interest in how Christ walked. How do you and I find out about how Christ walked? Through His Word and feeding upon His Word. It's by the Word we get washed. See how it's all connected there? But the Lord Jesus says here in verse 5, and I in Him, I abiding in Him. In Galatians chapter 4, let's take a look at a reference here. In Galatians chapter 4, I love this. You know, we are to spread, as the brother prayed, I believe, and it was mentioned this morning. We are to plant, we are to water, and God gives the increase. We are to plant and sow the seed. We are to water that seed. That's what we've been called to do. Tell it, tell it, tell it. We won't run out of seed. There's no end to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's not a soul out there that doesn't need to be told about salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got people, all of us in all of our lives, that we need to tell about salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. We won't run out of seed. We won't run out of ammunition. We need to tell it and tell it and tell it. And you know what? When the Lord takes that good word and the Lord moves with His Spirit, I like this, what the brother writes to these churches in Galatia. He says here in verse number 4, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, that is the Lord Jesus, to redeem them which that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. When one is saved, they don't have to be told by anybody else that the Lord saved them. They know it from the Lord, and they cry out, Daddy, Father. That's what the word Abba means. Father, Father. We don't have to tell anybody that they've been saved. They're going to know it by the Spirit of God within. What you and I need to do is not worry about saving them, but worry about telling them. Telling them that good word of God. In Romans chapter 8, we have this, another point about this, about the soul of the sinner being saved by the Lord and the indwelling of the Spirit. It says here in verse number 14 of Romans 8, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Do you have the Lord in your heart? Do you have the Spirit of God working in you? Again, when we're disobedient, when we're sinful, when we've got disobedience and rejection of the Lord's word in our hearts, is there any still small voice of the Lord there saying, Jim, that's wrong. Jim, that's wicked. Don't go that way. Or do we just go on and nobody, no one is saying anything? Here it says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, the spirit within, the spirit of God within, whereby we cry, Daddy, Daddy, God Almighty, God the Father, Daddy, Father, Father, Father. When children are born, and they get old enough to recognize their parents, they know their parents, don't they? As much as our grandsons love us and enjoy being with us, when Stephen and Natalie show up, they perk up. Okay, yeah, you might find an exceptional day when they might be all crabby or something, or sick or something like that. But they, when they see their parents, they cry out to them. I've seen it. I've heard it. And that's the way it is with the child of God that's saved. They cry out to the Father. They have that connection and that relationship with the Father because the Spirit of God abides in them. In John 15, verse 5, Jesus says, I am the vine and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, get it? For without me, you can't do a thing. You can do nothing. Verse 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. Remember, it's the husband up there that's taking those branches away. See, I think in this allegory, the Lord's dealing with his disciples, but he's also telling about the overall picture of this. You know how you have life this morning? It's by God Almighty causing your heart to continue to beat and your brain function and your eyes flew open this morning. It's only by the power of God that you're here today. Any of us. He is the giver of physical life. He is the one that is life. And then you go on beyond that. There's that need of the soul. We're naturally dead, and we need life from the Lord, and he's the giver of spiritual life through Jesus Christ. You know what? Those branches that don't come to spiritual life, that don't abide in Christ, that don't receive the Lord Jesus Christ and his gospel for the salvation of their souls, you know what? There comes a time those branches get taken up from physical life and then go on an eternity of spiritual death. You've got life now, sinner. Repent and believe the gospel. At verse number 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Verse 7, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done. There's a relationship with the Lord in there. And the brother taught about it this morning. how a need at hand. We ask for our desire. We go to the Lord knowing that He is all-powerful. And I like that. A burden versus worry. That's a great consideration and a great thing that Brother Doug brought out. Lord blessed him within that. Burden or worry. Burden is a necessity, an issue at hand. But if we've got the Lord, if we're crying, Abba, Father, the Lord is abiding in us and we're abiding in Him. We know the Lord's going to work. Amen? May He give us the grace to endure with this skin what might be contrary to the skin, but no, it's ultimately for His glory and His praise. Amen? He said, we've not got the spirit of fear, we read. This old man, it fears. But if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, clinging and holding to the promises of the Lord, what the Lord has said, what He has declared, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. We have this thing of prayer and we can go to the Lord with every need, with thanksgiving, with praise. And we can rest in Him, knowing He always does what's best for us. What's best for us from that eternal perspective that our Lord has. Verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. You know what? It'll be known that you're my disciples when you bear much fruit. Yeah, the Scripture tells, the Lord said it Himself, some 30, some 60, some 100. There'll be a difference that will be among the Lord's people. It will be. But you know what? They're all bearing fruit. How many seeds went in the ground for the 30 to be born? That's a multiplier, isn't it? It's always multiplication. Fruit. Much fruit for the honor and glory and praise of the Lord. If we desire that our fruit bear what we have done, yea, we very well may have our reward. Amen. But our fruit, the fruit that we bear through the power of the Lord and us abiding in the Lord and the Lord abiding in us will be unto His honor and glory and praise. Herein is my Father glorified, verse 8, that you bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. It'll be known that you're mine by the fruit that you bear before me. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. You think God the Father loves the Son? If you will, He loves the Son most of all, doesn't He? And what a wonder that He would take that love that He has for the Son and take that and apply it to us. Bring that to us through the Son. He says, and the Son loves the Father, doesn't He? Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. That's a love of obedience, is it not? A love of obedience. He says, the Father loved me, and I've loved you the same way that the Father has loved me. Continue ye in my love. My love for you, the Father's love for me, our love one for another. The husbandman loves us. And he tendeth to the vine for the branches help and benefit. Amen. May we abide in him. Verse 10. If. What's it say? If. Oh, there can be professors, but there might not be possessors. If. That's the reason these things are here. If. Ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, verse 11, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. Not talking about happiness. Not talking about that which is related to this world and the happiness that we gain from this world. But Jesus says, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. The Lord Jesus says it plainly. If you love me, keep my commandments. What he says, what he directs. Has the Lord ever told us anything that's for our harm? Never. Never. Everything he commands us, everything he tells us is always for our good and for our benefit and for our blessing. Always. Always. And he says, if you keep my commandments, you'll be abiding in my love. Jesus is loved by the Father, and Jesus evidenced his love for the Father by what? Obeying him. Obeying him in every detail and every whit. How can we show that we love the Lord? By obeying him. You know what? It's going to be hard for a professor and not a possessor to obey the Lord. It's going to be hard. Because these are spiritual things. That it's going to be hard for that to last. It's going to be hard for that to continue. But you know what? One that has cried, Abba, Father, one that has the Spirit of God within, oh, there'll be a challenge. There'll be a challenge to obey because of this old man. But you know what? There'll be a love within and a desire within to obey, to abide in Christ. Abide in Christ. It won't be a thing of, oh, well, to abide in Christ means I got to give up this and I got to give up that and give up the other. Abiding in Christ, saved by the Lord, having the Spirit of God living within. Oh, abiding in Christ. Abiding in Christ is to my benefit. Because of that, I can put this away and put that away and put that junk away out of my life and serve my Lord with the days that he's given me that remain. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love by doing so, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. That's the example. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. Right here in these verses, from verse 1 to verse number 11, the Lord has told us the relationship of the Father, the Son, and the Child. Get that. You want to have joy in the Lord? You get a handle on what the Lord says in those verses. And then we go ahead and have here quickly the relationship child to child. The Lord Jesus says, I am the true vine. Let's read. This is my commandment, verse number 12, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And that's what Jesus has done for us. And we need to be willing, John tells us in his epistles, that we need to be willing to lay down our lives for the brethren. May the Lord help us in that, if that comes to be necessary. And I tell you what, at the very least, we need to be willing to give of ourselves for our brethren, don't we? That's laying down your life, too. Is your life a life of giving and receiving? Or is your life all about receiving? May God help us. Is your life all about receiving? Are you always the taker? The taker? The need? We all have times that we need help. We all have times that we need comfort and strength and blessing. We all have times where we have need of stuff and that. But is yours always on the receiving end? Tell you what, we need to be givers. Our Lord was a giver. And we do benefit and have this blessing, especially in the church, that we have this help to whatever extent that it is. It's available there. But is all we ever do is receive? This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Ye are not my friends if you don't do whatsoever I've commanded you. I know I added that, but that's the opposite, isn't it? Don't do what the Lord Jesus has commanded, you're not his friend. Don't even waste your time. We need not even waste our time saying that he is our friend if we don't obey him. It's hypocrisy and it's a mockery. May God help us in that. You're my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. And that's an example to us to be obedient to Christ. He was obedient to the Father in every way. Well, we should be obedient to the Son, shouldn't we? Amen. It shows our love for Him. It shows our seriousness. If you don't honor and respect and have a desire towards someone, you won't listen to a word they say. Much less do what they say to do. But if we have honor and respect and care and love for someone, when they open their mouth, when we hear that first squeak, that first note of their voice, we're listening. We're listening. We talked about E.F. Hutton last Sunday, didn't we? When E.F. Hutton talks, people listen. When the Lord talks, we should listen. We should listen. He goes on here to say, in the relationship childish child, that's what he's talking about now. We saw earlier in verses 1 through 11 about the relationship of the father, the son, and the child. Here we see the relationship child to child. And he says in verse 16, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit." That's what the plan and the design of the Lord is. "And that your fruit should remain, a fruit that would last." Have you yielded some fruit that's going to last past your life? Or is it all about now? Have you and I yielded some fruit that's going to remain? "That whatsoever ye ask, whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you." We have that blessing of prayer. "These things I command you, that ye love one another." First, verses 1 through 11, the Lord says, "I'm the vine and we're the branches." He's the true vine. "I am the true vine." And he tells us in verses 1 through 11 about our relationship, the relationship between the Father, the Son, and the child. That's you and me. We are saved. And then in verses 12 through 17, we've seen about the relationship of the child to the child. We should love one another as Christ has loved us. We show that we are His children. And then lastly here, in this third thing, this third point that the Lord makes here in this telling that He is the true vine, is our relationship of the child to the world. Verse 18, "If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you." So when Jesus comes up and you take a look at the opinion of the world hates Jesus. That's just the way it is. Does Jesus want that? No. Is that a desirable thing? No. Is that something that we should glory and revel in? No. Is that something that, and he's going to go on to talk to us about our relationship with the world, is that something that we just got to should go out and incite and stir up? There are those that have that persecution complex and will go out. You know, there's a fine line. Some people just go out and look to push the button so then they can say, "I'm persecuted for the Lord." See, when we take that position, "I'm persecuted for the Lord," it may be a form of will worship to where we're looking to bring honor to ourselves and telling about our suffering. You know what? We should just do what the Lord tells us to do. And if that brings harm or hurt or discord from the world towards us, may we stand in the Lord and keep on plowing. Okay? It's not about us. It's all about the Lord. And he says here, "If the world hate you, know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own." Does the world love you? "Be careful when all men speak well of you." Now that comes to pastors. And I'm not looking in the people of God, but I'm not looking to make anybody hate me. But I tell you what, we need to stand in the truth. "If you are of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you." Because we're the Lord's. "Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord." And the Lord Jesus comes back to what he said again. The word by which we're made clean. The word that he said in particular here, the servant is not greater than his Lord. Well, they won't hate the Lord and love us. If they hate the Lord, they're going to hate us. "If they have persecuted me," verse 20, "they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. My sheep know my voice." And you know what? The sheep know the voice of the other sheep too. You hear that? Because the sheep are saying what the Lord says. And the sheep, you know what? When the sheep hear what the Lord says, they smile. they get happy. They're thrilled by what the Lord says. They enjoy, "Oh, You have that too? You believe that too? You enjoy that too? You abide in Christ too? Me too. That's a lot of twos, isn't it? But he says here, he says, if they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. Verse 21, but all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake. It's because of the Lord living in us that they would take things out on us, because they know not him that sent me. And here's the issue. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. Jesus took the cloak right off of sin and exposed it and shows what it is, how ugly it is, how deadly it is, and how separating from God it is, and how the only answer for it is his death, burial, and resurrection. Jesus blew the lid off of sin. It was being covered up, in a sense. Jesus took the cover off of it. He says, there it is. There's how ugly it is. There's how deadly it is. There's what it is. Sin is killing you. And you need me. You need me. I'm the only answer for it. And so, being identified with Christ, and he blew the lid off of sin, you know what? Our obedience and our looking to honor the Lord, and just our simply minding our own business and to bear fruit, is an offense to those that are without Christ. You don't have to do anything out of the way to get people riled at you. You just got to obey the world. That's enough. Because it's a condemnation to their disobedience. I believe you ought to meet together with the Lord's church to worship on Sunday. And you face somebody with that and say, well, are you saying that I don't? Well, the Lord's saying you don't. I'm just looking to obey the Lord. And he goes on to say here, verse 22, if I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. So it's a package deal. Hate the children of the Lord, hate the Lord. Also hate the father. Because remember, the husbandman is tending to the vine for the sake of the branches. When the world hates us, don't take it too personal, because before we were saved, we hated us too. And when it really gets down to it, they do hate us, but they really hate the Lord. Because this is his way. They hate our Father. And he goes on to say here, he that hateth me hateth my Father also. Verse 24, if I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father, with Jesus coming. But this cometh to pass that the word might be fulfilled, which is written, that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. Because you know what? You leave sin alone and you don't deal with sin, there's going to be death, 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 death forever, ever, ever. But Jesus needed to come and take and blow the lid off of sin and take the cloak off of sin, that it might be exposed so there'd be hope for sinners like you and me through him. If you didn't face up to the truth about sin, you know what? You're not going to be saved until you see yourself as a hell-deserving sinner. And so, it comes to pass, Jesus has done a good thing in exposing sin, and he's hated for it, without a cause. See, in the righteous, eternal truth of God, sin is wicked. Sin is not good, and sin needs to be exposed, and sin needs to be dealt with through Christ. Otherwise, all that's left is death. The wages of sin is death. Verse 26, verse 25. But this cometh to pass that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, this is a promise to the church, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And he's referring here in chapter 16, in verses 8, 9, 10, and 11, about what the Spirit would do. Let's read that quickly. When he is come, John 16, 8, he, that is the Spirit, the Holy Work, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit work of the Comforter in the church, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go unto my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. And how will this Comforter do that? He'll do it through his people in his church. You don't hear the Spirit out here going around around down the highways and byways saying, you're a bunch of sinners because you reject Christ. You don't hear that out there. You know who declares that? The Spirit declares that through His people and through His church. We tell the continued truth. You know, the witness of the Lord Jesus Christ when He was here on this earth for the years that He was, for the ministry, the public ministry that He had, and the 33 years that He lived, it was a witness to the truth about sin and our need of a Savior. And you know what, brothers and sisters? It's necessary for that witness to continue on. And it continues on through us, through the Lord's people and through His church. And verse number 27, and ye also shall bear witnesses, and ye also shall bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. The Lord Jesus is speaking that to His disciples, who indeed were with Him from the beginning of His ministry. Right? The apostles had to hail from the baptism of John the Baptist. Right? And they were with Him physically from the beginning. But you know what? We who are saved, we've been with Him since the time we've been saved. We've been with Him from the beginning too, haven't we? Because we know that we know and we believe with all that is within us by the power and working and salvation of God that it was necessary for John to come and preach what he did. It was true that John was the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that Jesus did come and live a perfect life and is the Son of God, and then yielded at 33 years, yielded His own life a ransom for me. You would say you. And that He was buried, and that He rose from the dead. You know what? By the salvation of the Lord's salvation of my soul, I am a witness of the resurrection of Christ. Oh, I wasn't there some 2,000 years ago. But in this time when the Lord has saved and called me by His gospel and by His word and by His Spirit, I'm a testimony and a witness to it now. And you know what? When the world takes a look at that and the way the world is, they hate it. But you know what? It's the very message that they need. Jesus says, I'm the true vine. He says, don't fiddle around with those other wannabe vines out there. I'm the true vine. With the Heavenly Father that is the husbandman. Abide in me.